The 2026 Chevy Equinox is more than an SUV. It's your Sunday tailgate and your parking lot snack bar. Your lucky jersey, your chairs, and your big cooler fit perfectly in your even bigger cargo space. And when it's go time, your 11.3-inch diagonal touchscreen's got the playbook, the playlist, and the tech to stay a step ahead. It's more than an SUV. It's your Equinox. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
They say you should learn something new every day. Like how you should only drink Jägermeister at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, ice cold. Like those frozen cavemen they find, which makes you wonder, what would a caveman think of Jägermeister? Well, if you served it warm, he'd probably throw it in your face, say, Oonga Boonga, and storm off. And nobody wants that. So drink it cold or not at all. Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
Last night, you spent 2 hours deciding what to wear to the party. This morning, it'll take you 2 minutes to list it on Depop and make your money back. Just grab your phone, snap a few photos, and we'll take care of the rest. The sheer dress and platform heels you'll never wear again? There's a birthday girl searching for them right now. Your one-and-done look is about to pay for your next night out. Or at least the ride home. Your style can make you cash. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson, who spent a decade in the NFL. I'm Grant Paulson, and we have finally made it. Happy draft day, everybody. Feels like it's Christmas morning. We're about to run down the steps and see if Santa came. Logan, we're here.
We're here, man. And it's so exciting. Like, it's just like it's we talked about this on the last show, but I'm a draft Nick, man. I remember when I was growing up, like I really enjoyed the whole draft process, like going to the store with my dad and buying the book and going through prospects and reading about where they're from. And I used to, like, some people are like, man, the draft's so boring. I used to just love to sit down, me and my dad, and just watch the whole thing. Like, I'd watch all 7 rounds. So, like, you know, this is a great day. It's a good football day. So
I was talking about this on air this week. The draft was my favorite day of the year. It was mostly because for many years of my childhood, Washington wasn't really a contender. So, like, you're excited about the future and the promise of these new guys coming in. But beyond that, it used to be, this is one of those, like, when I was a boy, we walked to school kind of things. But it was 7 rounds, 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And round one, or day one, rather, I think was, like, rounds 1 through 3. Might have been 4. But it was an all-day thing because there used to be 15 minutes between picks in the first round. So you
That was crazy. I remember that too. That was crazy.
Yeah. So it'd be like noon to 5 p.m., 6 p.m. or whatever for like 3 rounds of the draft. And then 4 through 7, they bring in a different group of TV analysts who like really knew ball and then they studied all the tape, not just like the personalities or whatever. And then they would have them sit there. And that was Sunday and it would go like 4 through 7. And then they would, you know, do 5 minutes between picks and crank all those rounds out. But I would, of the, you know, I don't know, 10 hours of draft coverage, there were years where I would sit there for 8 or 9 hours just with a notebook writing things down. Like, I loved it.
Dude, same. I mean, same. Like, obviously, like, I was playing sports and stuff, but it would be like, hey, like, let's check in. Oh, hey. Like, I remember, this must have been before. So I remember going the next day and buying a newspaper with all the picks in it. Like, going to, like, the local, like, what was it, like, coffee shop and just buying a newspaper and reviewing all the picks on the piece of paper. So, it's been a long time. That made me feel really old saying that. But, you know, here we are.
You said that there was a word in there. It started with an N.
Oh, Nick?
No.
No. What's going on?
News.
Are we doing a bit? Newspaper. That's right. Oh, newspaper.
So that's like the news and they write it and then you, how does that work exactly?
Yeah, it just like the news from the day before comes out the morning of the following day.
You would ride your horse to go get it at the local town. Is that how it would work? I mean, how old are you, guy?
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, doesn't that sound super old now? Like, that's a crazy thing. Like, I would just hop on my phone immediately after and just look at all the picks. And then I was like, no, I would actually go to the newsstand with my dad. We'd get like a bagel and a coffee. he'd get a coffee and I would just review the paper with him, like just some like old person.
Even crazier, I got size for draft magazines before and after.
Dude, draft magazines were the ish, my man.
Yes. This was like, you know, our boy, our guy, the draft nerd Jeremy. Like now he's, you know, sending out an email with his takes. You used to be that you would have to like wait in the mail and get the full publication in printed glossy form in a magazine. But regardless, let's get after it. So wanted to make our final predictions today, just kind of get on the record with how we think things are going to go. The first thing I wanted to do, though, was to try to simulate seven-ish or so rounds of this draft and see what happens with Washington, see what they end up with, see how we're feeling at their picks. Now, the caveat is going to be, I know you've mentioned this, we've had guests mention that these simulators are not always that accurate. It's just instructive. Whatever we get is what we get. And we're going to rock and roll with this thing. So without further ado, Commanders are on the clock at seven. And I can let you know that so far right now, the first six picks in front of Washington were the quarterback Fernando Mendoza, the Jets, the Jets took Carnell Tate, number two. David Bailey, the edge from Texas Tech, went third. Sonny Styles, the linebacker from Ohio State, went fourth. And then Mansoor Delane to the New York Giants, fifth. Had not heard that one. Francis Malinoa to the Browns, sixth. So Arvel Reese has fallen into the Commanders' lap if they want him. Jeremiah Love and Reuben Bain, Caleb Downs are the other top players available. But one of the edges has fallen here. Feels like a stick and pick. But before you make that selection, which seems easy, I've got to tell you that there is a trade offer that came in here.
Okay.
The Jets have offered 16-44 to move up to seven, which is very enticing, even with Arvel Reese on the board. Also, I love this. The Saints have offered 8-42 to move up one spot. The Commanders also have to give up 71, the third round pick in the process, but now they have a first and a second rounder, and they're only going back one pick. And then I've got a third offer on the phones here from the Philadelphia Eagles, who want 7-71. That's picks 1 and 3. They're giving up 23, 54, 68, 98. So you have 3 day 2 picks plus a first rounder and a second rounder next year. All for the Commanders 7-71.
So obviously, like when we talk about prospects that you would stick and pick for, like Jeremiah Love, Arvel Reese, I think fall in that category pretty definitively. And I also like that they had Mansoor Delane going to New York here. I think that's like an interesting kind of possibility that nobody's talked about because I do think he's that kind of player. So Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles, Mansoor Delane, I think that's all in play there for them. And in some ways, that would be good because it pushed down, like in this simulation, one of these kind of, you know, blue chip prospects, so to speak. I like Arvel Reese a lot. I do have some reservations about him making the transition from linebacker to edge and like what he's going to be in the NFL level. If there's somebody that I trust to handle that transition more than anybody in the league, it's probably Dan Quinn because he's done it. He's done it at the highest level with Micah Parsons. However, I love picks. I love picks in this draft. And the idea of getting, what, 5 picks from the Philadelphia Eagles seems crazy to me. Like it was 4 this year. Obviously we're losing 71, but basically swapping thirds and then getting a second next year for a player who hasn't played a down of football in the NFL. Like that seems pretty sweet to me. So I would probably lean into that. I would defer to my GM here, Grant Paulson, but that's my initial thought.
So I was planning on having to talk you out of Reese or Love to trade back because I would be in trade back mode. Not that I don't love those players, but I think you got some really good offers. The question is it about the sugar rush of eating the donut today? And do you need the picks in this draft or the value longer term? And Philly is giving up the most by far because of the second rounder next year, the flexibility you add therein. Next year's draft supposed to be better than this year's draft, supposed to be pretty epic draft, possibly a legendary group that's, you know, we're going to see it's going to get formed between now and next year. But if there's, you know, any interest in this, I mean, the value in terms of like points for picks, you're getting 440 from the Jets. You're getting over 500 from the Eagles. You're getting 548 from the Saints, 8-42. But it, you know, that would be the most valuable because you're not having to give up, I think, 71 as well. So That's so the
if
question.
You really, is, if you really wanted to do
two top 50 picks this year, or do you want the four picks plus the second next year?
If you really wanted to do like legit draft philosophy, obviously Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles or Love are both there, right? So the best way to handle this would be to trade back one spot, pick the remaining player, and pick up a second round pick. Like that would be like the most, what is it, dutiful way to do it, because you're still getting a blue chip style player. And then you're also picking up a draft. Like the Philly one seems so enticing, but you are trading way back. So I would suggest we take the New Orleans offer, even though the Philly one, that just seems crazy. A second pick next year. I mean, that's just a lot of draft capital to give up for one player. So I don't know. I mean, you're moving way back, obviously, but like if we were doing this legitimately, we would say, hey, we'd look at our board. We'd say, hey, Love and Arvel Reese are two kind of blue chip players. We can trade back one spot, pick the one that they don't pick, get any second round pick, and then keep the thing moving. So that might be the answer here.
Yeah, it's basically pick swaps, because you're swapping picks in the first round by one spot to then move up 30 picks from round three to early round two, essentially, with your second selection. You're not gaining any
pick. Do we lose a third round pick? We don't swap the third round?
Yeah, 7-71 for 8-42.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to get more picks, obviously. So the volume is enticing. But again, like if I do think that one of those guys is a blue chip player, I'm probably just trading down a spot and picking there.
I agree.
What do you think?
I like that, because you're still going to get either Love or Reese. Now, the problem is very likely the Saints are leapfrogging you. So they're going to pick for you. You know, they're going to make that pick. All right. So I accepted the offer. They took Edge Arvel Reese. So now you've moved back to 8. And Jeremiah Love is staring you in the face. So is Reuben Bain and Caleb Downs. Now, the phone is ringing again. Here's your volume, Logan. You want volume? Mm-hmm. The Bucks are offering 15, 46, and 116 for the 8th pick in the draft.
Wow. Seriously?
Yep.
I mean,
I've also got the Lions on the line. They're offering 17, 50, and a second rounder next year.
Wow.
And then the Lions are the second of three offers. The third would be the Jets are still offering 16 and 44 to come up. So you could go 16 and 44 this year with the Jets. You go 17, 50, and a second round pick next year with the Lions, or 15, 46, 116 from the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends on what you're looking at here if you're Adam Peters, because I do think the trade back is good. I do think he's a blue chip player, so I don't know what the value is, but to me it's a running back, right? You can find a running back anywhere in the draft. So to me, I would really consider trading out of this spot. I think it just depends on what you think is the best offer. Obviously, if you're looking for immediate firepower, immediate influx of talent, you go with the package that's giving you three picks. But I do like the idea of garnering a second round pick next year. I think that would be a big deal. It gives you some more flexibility. So that's the way I'd probably go, which was the Lions, if I'm not
mistaken. The Lions, 17-50 in the second rounder. We're in lockstep. I feel good about that. By the way, here people are joining the Take Command pod today to hear our prediction of the NFL draft, and we've traded back twice already when the Commanders were on the clock. Can you imagine the draft parties just ready to like buy their jerseys? But we're doing the right thing. Trade back Paulson is fired up right now. We've moved back to 17. We've accrued more selections. Now, at 17, one offer came in from the Cardinals. I'm going to just dismiss it outright. The highest pick is 34. It's only a couple of picks, so I'm not that interested. So now 16 players are off the board, including Jeremiah Love, who's gone. So your best available now are mostly linemen. You've got Monroe Freeling, Caleb Lomu, tight end Kenyon Sadiq, defensive tackle Peter Woods, Vega Ioni is still there, as is Caden Proctor. A lot of the linemen have slid down the board. The best available player at a skill position on offense is going to be a guy that you had 15th overall on your board, wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana. If you want a receiver, Casey Concepcion is still there as well. Any other positions you're interested in seeing who's there?
Obviously, safety. I'd be curious to see who's available there. And then obviously defensive line. I would be curious to see.
BPA at safety is Emmanuel McNeil Warren. Feels a little rich for me at 17. Best player available on the edge is Akeem Mesidor from Miami. Zion Young from Missouri. Those two positions got picked apart pretty quick.
So yeah, I think for me, this is a really good kind of discussion point. I think it's one that should be addressed, right? I do think obviously the receivers there, Omer Cooper Jr. really love, right? But of those people, I think the players with the highest upside are obviously offensive linemen. And I do think with picking up that second round pick, there will be a receiver that is of comparable ability to the one you're going to get here at 17. So I would say like between Caden Proctor, who is a sky high upside, maybe the player with the most upside in the entire draft class to play left guard, or do you go with the solid double Vangione, dude's going to be a 10, 15 year starter from the jump. Like everyone talked about Tyler Booker last year. I think this guy's better, comes in, plays left guard. You move Brandon Coleman to center, whatever that looks like. You have a wall in front of Jaden Daniels. Whoever's running the football is going to have a great time because you've got two awesome blocking tight ends and a guard. I know this isn't the sexiest pick, but I would bank on there being a receiver or an offensive playmaker we could get excited about with our second round pick.
So I'll go Vangione there at pick 17. I like the plug and play guard. It's not a question mark at the position. All you're doing is just making your offensive line that much better very, very quickly. And to your point, look, you didn't draft Jeremiah Love. So it's Bill season in the backfield with Jerome Ford and Rashad White. So let's plow the way. I mean, let's get him some real estate here. And on top of that, let's keep Jaden Daniels' jersey clean. All right, so we're back on the clock at 42 with one of the picks that we acquired. Best available players right now are cornerback D'Angelo Pons from Indiana, edge T.J. Parker from Clemson, Lee Hunter, the defensive tackle from Texas Tech, Keith Abney, the corner from Arizona State. If you want a receiver at 42, I will say our calculation on receiver has paid off some because they're plenty of talent here, but it's Chris Brazell of Tennessee is kind of the top option. Jeremy Bernard from Alabama or Antonio Williams from Clemson before you get into that, you know, group we've been talking a lot about at 71, Ted Hurst, Skylar Bell, Jacoby Lane, Bryce Lance.
Yeah, I think all those guys are good football players. And, I'd be confident that one of them is going to be there because we have another pick at 50, right? Am I mistaken now?
Yes, we do. We're picking at 50.
So I think I'm thinking best player available here. And of the best player available, I do think is Malachi Lawrence still on the board? Just out of curiosity.
He is. It's the edge from UCF.
So really the conversation here for me is between TJ Parker and Malachi Lawrence. And I would lean ever so slightly to Malachi Lawrence in this situation because I think obviously TJ Parker is a big physical dude. But when you look at the type of player that played well in Minnesota, the body type is almost exactly that of Malachi Lawrence. He's fast. He ran a 4.5 40. He's explosive in the lower half. I think he had a 40-inch vertical. He had a 10-10 broad. He's got 34-inch arms. He plays very hard. He's dexterous in drops. Now, the production as a pass rusher is a little up and down. He had 8 sacks last year. But in terms of traits for Dan Quinn and this defensive staff to work with of a body type that has some flexibility in the front, I'd probably lean that direction here with the pick. And so you get an elite kind of defensive pass rusher, and I think you can get the receiver at 50.
All right, so I'm going to make an executive decision. Go for it. Unless you're going to stop me here. We're at pick 50. I'm going to take Malachi Lawrence. I agree with you at 42. So we get to 50. The Bears are offering us a trade back to 57 and a third rounder next year, and I'm going to take that.
Okay.
You fine with that? We're going back 7 spots. We can still get a wide receiver, and we've now added a second and third rounder next year.
I think so. I think I'd be cool with that. I think it's just such a saturated receiver market. Like, you're going to be able to get a good player at 57.
All right. So now we've picked up multiple rounds of picks for next year as we're trying to load up. This is a multi-pronged, multi-year plan here with trade back Paulson. I think Adam Peters will be able to work some magic in a better draft class next year as well. All right. So now we're on the clock at 57, but we got to stop neglecting the position. So let's go get our wide out. You've got, among others, Antonio Williams, Clemson, Ted Hurst, Georgia State, Skylar Bell, UConn, Jacoby Lane, USC, Bryce Lance, North Dakota State, Elijah Surratt from Indiana, and Zachariah Branch from Georgia. So my scouting director, receiver you like the most would be who? I would be leaning toward Ted Hurst here.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable here. And I think, you know, the other one that, you know, I'm very high on is Deshaun Stribling. Obviously, in this kind of mock, he's not, or this simulation, he's not rated very highly. But I do think he ends up being a second round player. So Ted Hurst, he's tall. He's 6'3". He's 210 pounds. He ran a 4.4 at the combine. He's got the traits to be a true two in the league, you know, and I think that's something that is exciting. And I think he has the opportunity to progress into like a one. Like he was very, very productive at Georgia State. So you wonder a little bit about the level of competition, but I think he's the guy that catches your eye there. And you say, hey, like, let's get a big perimeter guy that can stretch the field and make some plays on the football for Jaden Daniels in an explosive way. So yeah, I think that's a great pick.
All right. So we're not picking again for a while then. We are not picking until pick 147 after that selection. So we'll wait out our simulator to catch up to us here. And with the Giants and Browns picking at 145 and 146, Logan, we are back on the clock. Pick 147, take command. We're mocking our way through a seven-round draft for the Commanders. So now that we're in round five and we're picking here at round 150, I think what we've got to do is we've got to just take the best player available. I don't think we're getting cute with positions anymore. So I'll throw some names at you. Tell me if there's any interest in any of these players. Charlie Demings, the corner from Stephen F. Austin. Logan Jones, who's a center at Iowa, I think could be of intrigue with that position being pretty bleak. Devin Marshall, the corner from NC State, stands out. You want a big D tackle from Penn State. Zane Durant is there. If you want a running back, Nick Singleton is the best on the board at this moment. I'm all for a weapon. I think he could arguably be your best back next year if you draft him here. What do you like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad you brought up Nick Singleton. He's a guy that, you know, obviously has had kind of a much maligned offseason process, right? Broke his foot at the Senior Bowl, underutilized at Penn State, but supposedly is, you know, 220 pounds. He's about 6 foot, 6'1", and he's supposed to be like a 4.3 guy. And so I think that does show up on tape. But when you talk about a big guy that brings an explosive element to the offense, like that would be very, very enticing to me, right? Again, like he is a project. He's here at 147 for a reason. But I think having that explosive piece would be awesome. You mentioned Marshall from NC State, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I think he is a very, very solid football player. Like one of these guys you pick up in the fifth round that, you know, no one knows about that ends up becoming a starter for 6 years in the league, right? It has some really nice ability there. And then there was another player you mentioned. Oh, Demings from a small school, right? I forget the school name. Shoot. What's the school, Grant?
Charles Demings from Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah. And so like small school guy, but I think can cover and is competitive. So I, you know, this is the fun thing about this is like, once you get in the weeds in the draft, like you get like your favorite. So I really like Marshall, really like Demings. I've got like this kind of man crush on Singleton and the potential. So in terms of getting more explosive on offense, like getting a back that could potentially run a 4.3, didn't do it in the process because of the foot injury. I'd probably go that direction. I just think that's going to be so dynamic for you down the road if that guy does hit. Like I thought, like I came out of the draft process doing my big 100 board or top 100 board thinking there's four guys that could be NFL starting running backs. Obviously, Jeremiah Love, Mike Washington from Arkansas, Prince Price, I always get his name messed up, the other running back from Notre Dame, and then Singleton Price, yeah. would be the next guy. So like if he's there at 147, GM Logan Paulson would probably like, that's the pick. We're gonna get way more explosive, way more physical, and I think that's the right kind of approach here.
I'm getting my weapon. I'm in on that. I've now added a wide out and a running back, so I feel good there. Pick 187 down the board. So now we're into the deep portion of this draft. Do you have any interest in drafting and stashing just like Talon Green as a project? Obviously, dude, you got your franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels. He's still there. I mean, he's the BPA by about 20 slots here on this simulation.
The more I watch him, the more like that guy, I think if he could sit for 3 years, you could trade him for like if he develops. It's a developmental, it's a lottery ticket. It's not like
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at AmericaCures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
It's nothing like right. It's not a sure thing for sure, but I do think he has some ability. And I think there is a universe where he's a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's got to come a long way, but that's something that I've thought about and I've kicked around. And as long as Jaden Daniels would be okay with that, a guy that you're picking, what is that, the sixth round? I don't remember. Sixth round, right?
I want to take him. I want to take him and stash him. I want to, you know, have him in the building, have Jaden working with
guy.
Him. Let's rock and roll.
All right. I'm on board with that. He's very talented.
At this point, why wouldn't you take the lottery ticket that you might be able to turn into something? And if you don't, so what? I mean, you're almost doing the same thing without the lottery ticket element if you take somebody else.
No, it's 100% true. I think the thing would be just the argument here, because I am 100% with you, and I think this is the pick. This should be the pick, and I like where you're approaching this. Is like if there's one of these safeties like down the board, like the kid from Spears Jennings from Oklahoma, who's a 4.3 guy. He's 215 pounds. Like he played linebacker, played post, played nickel. Like, you know, he's got 33-inch arms. Like if there's one of these traitsy kind of hybrid players here, I might take a shot on one of those guys because I think they could play. But I do think Talen Green, the upside there is pretty special.
All right, we're back on the clock at 2:09. Logan Paulson, Grant Paulson, rounding out our 7-round mock for the Commanders, and we'll give you the full breakdown on what we got on the back end here. Safety's best available if you want to look there. Devin Boykin, Skylar Thomas. You could go Deuce Chestnut from Syracuse, all there. In terms of cornerbacks, if you're looking at one, Colin Wright from Stanford, Preston Hodge from Colorado. What I like here a little bit is edge. You know, Vincent Anthony from Duke, Caden Curry from Ohio State are both there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think Vincent Anthony's the guy that catches my Curry. Obviously, he's kind of a blue collar, like hardworking, very productive first and second down player. But I think Vincent Anthony has an opportunity to be something special. Like, kind of has the measurements you want. You know, he's 6'5", almost 6'6". He's got 35-inch arms. Like, he's kind of this spider on the field. He ran decently well. The pass rush production was never elite. But again, when we're talking about Malachi Lawrence with our second pick in the draft or third pick in the draft, whatever it was, and you get this guy here as a developmental edge with some traits, like, that seems like such an Adam Peters pick, because it's like this guy, I think, has the ability to develop into a starter at some point.
All right, then our last pick, our Mr. Irrelevant here, we're going to take at 223. I want to take a lottery ticket on a receiver. So give me the guy, my scouting director, Logan, that you actually think has a chance to pop off here at the end of the draft, as low as that chance might be. Vinny Anthony, Wisconsin. Jeff Caldwell, Cincinnati. Tyron Montgomery, John Carroll. Eric McAllister, TCU. Barron Brown, CJ Daniels, Caleb Douglas. Any of those guys interesting?
The name that's going to pop off with the seventh round, this is our last pick in the draft, right?
It is, yep.
Then there is no bigger lottery ticket at the receiver position than Jeff Caldwell. Like, that is the guy. Like, Grant, like, this is the RAS king, right? He's Calvin Johnson without the production, man. Like, he ran a 4.3 40. He's 6'5 and a half. He's 215. I think he's 217 at the combine. He's got Spider-Man arms and 33-inch. Like, he is built in a lab to play wide receiver. And when you watch Cincinnati, like, he will splash, man. He splashes in a huge dynamic way, but you're always kind of like, why don't you do that all the time? You are the biggest freak I've ever seen in my life. So obviously there's some work ethic concerns there with him. There's some consistency concerns with him. But you look at him and you say, there are only a handful of people in the history of the planet that are built you like you. So I am taking a shot on Jeff Caldwell there with the last pick for the Commanders.
32 catches for 478 yards and 6 touchdowns at Cincinnati in 2025 for the big 6'4 plus Jeff Caldwell. So that's our draft class. Hire us, people. We just crushed it. All right, here's what we're looking at, Logan. You ready for your breakdown?
Yep.
Vega Ione at 17, Malachi Lawrence at 42, Ted Hurst at 57, Nick Singleton at 147, Talen Green at 187, Vince Anthony at 209, Jeff Caldwell at 223. We end up getting our left guard. We add an edge, long-term play with Adafe Owe, but also helps us this season in the rotation. We get two receivers, including one that's going to play right away. At sometimes opposite Terry, maybe, if things work out with Ted Hurst. You've got a back that's going to be in the mix with Bill for touches right off the bat and Nick Singleton. We've got our draft and stash quarterback that we're hoping to flip in a couple of years. We got edge depth in Vince Anthony, and we picked up second and third round picks for next year.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things, like when you talk about the top of this draft, like if one of those blue chip players falls, Arvel, Reese, Jeremiah Love, and you're able to, because that's what it's going to take to get a trade at seven, right? That's what it's going to take for, you know, New Orleans to move up, or us, or whoever, Tampa Bay to move up, or Detroit to move up, to get one of these special football players. And you really got to think about the risk reward and the cost benefit analysis there. Cause I think honestly, like Van Guyon is my ninth rated player in this class. Like Malachi Lawrence is like my 35th or 40th player in this class. Like, I think you can get good football players. Ted Hurst is like my seventh wide receiver. You got him at 57. Like, I think there's a lot of really good opportunity here to get depth if you're willing to trade out of that spot. So I think that's a question that you got to ask Adam Peters. Is the depth of the roster more important, or is that blue chip player more important? And for us, obviously today, because we have no stake in the game, like it was, let's get more picks.
Yeah, I can see someone sitting at home listening that's a little bummed, because it's like, really? You got none of the blue chippers that we've been talking about for months, and you traded back two times and the first pick was outside of the top 15. But I would see that and raise you a three picks in the top 60. Instead of one pick in the top 70, which is what they're going into the draft with, we just made three picks before pick 58. And three versus one, for me, especially if the one is a running back, albeit one that I love, just seems like the value there of getting your starting left guard, an edge who's going to play a lot, a wide receiver is going to play a lot, maybe makes this football team that much better. All right, with that in mind, it is time to be a little more realistic here. It's time to get down to brass tacks. We are going to make our actual predictions, what we think is going to happen, what we hope happens, and we'll give you some bold predictions next. Take them in.
Putting off replacing your window treatments because you think it's complicated? At Blinds.com, we spent 30 years proving it doesn't have to be. And right now, our Spring Black Friday sale makes it easier than ever. Whether you want to DIY it or have a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we've got you. Free samples, real design experts, and zero pressure. Just help when you need it. Shop up to 45% off site-wide. Huge savings on doorbusters. Plus a free professional measure now during the Blinds.com Spring Black Friday sale. Rules and restrictions apply.